Radio Prague News.
A new study says Brexit could cut Czech GDP by 55 billion crowns. MPs approve a draft privacy law in line with the EU's GDPR, and the Prague owner of an escaped green mamba has died. The United Kingdom's departure from the European Union, or Brexit, could lead to a drop in the Czech gross domestic product by up to 55 billion crowns, or 1.1 percentage points. This, according to a study published on Wednesday by the retail savings bank Česká spořitelna. Brexit could also trigger the laying off of up to 40,000 workers, according to the survey. Hardest hit will be the Czech automotive, electronics and machinery production sectors. Direct Czech exports to the UK total about 210 billion crowns per year, or about 5% of total Czech exports and 4% of GDP, respectively. The National Centre for Combating Organised Crime has warned that, quote, uncontrolled numbers of people practicing Islam entering the country, unquote, presents a security threat. In its annual report, the centre says it has registered an increasing number of firms and agencies owned by Muslims being set up in the Czech Republic solely for the purpose of settling visas and residence permits. The centre says the long and short-term residence permits are often requested for the purpose of accompanying sick relatives to Czech spas, and that many of these clients are spending large sums of money, which it is difficult to trace. The lower house of parliament has approved a new draft law on the protection of privacy. The main aim is to bring Czech legislation fully in line with European legislation, in particular the General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, which came into effect in May. According to the draft law, it is still possible to process personal data for certain journalistic, academic, artistic, and literary purposes. In concrete terms, this means that journalists will not be required, for example, to ask each participant of an event or rally for permission to publish their images. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš, chairman of the populist ANO party, remains the most trusted leader of a political party now in parliament, this according to a poll by the CVVM agency. He enjoys the trust of 40% of people surveyed. In second place is Pirate Party chairman Ivan Bartosz at 33%, followed by Tomio Okamura of the far-right Freedom and Direct Democracy Party at 31%. The head of the junior coalition party, the Social Democrats, Mr. Jan Hamáček, placed ninth in the survey at 22%. A separate poll by the STEM agency shows support for ANO having risen by 2.3 percentage points since October to 35.7%, and the party would handily win elections if held today. A Prague woman who was bitten in October by her pet green mamba has died in hospital at the age of 30. She had been put into an induced coma after being admitted to hospital and given an anti-venom serum. The snake had escaped from her flat, triggering the evacuation of her apartment building in Hlubočepi. The green mamba is among the world's most venomous snakes. In sports news, the Czech men's floorball team has qualified for the quarterfinals of the ongoing World Championships in Prague. In a battle for first place in Group A, the Czech Republic defeated Switzerland on Tuesday by a score of 6-4. The Czechs will now face either Denmark or Estonia in a match on Thursday. And finally, the weather. Thursday should be cloudy throughout most of the country. Occasional rain, sleet, or light snowfall is forecast for all regions except for Zlín and Moravia Silesia. Average daily temperatures should be between negative 1 and 3 degrees Celsius. Friday should be warmer but rainy nationwide. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the news for now. Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, authorities point to an alarming rise in sham marriages organized by criminal groups. Children get ready for their annual encounter with St. Nicholas, angels and devils. And we visit the town of Litomyšl, birthplace of the beloved composer Bedřich Smetana and home to a remarkable castle. All that is coming up shortly, so please do stay with us. The National Center for Combating Organized Crime issued its annual report on Wednesday, highlighting potential security risks to the country. It reported a growing number of sham marriages, particularly with citizens of Turkey, and warned of, quote, uncontrolled numbers of people practicing Islam entering the country. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
Sham marriages, a lax migration policy with regard to Vietnamese nationals, growing Chinese influence and uncontrolled numbers of people practicing Islam entering the country. Those are the dangers highlighted by the squad fighting organized crime. The common denominator is the effort of organized crime groups from different countries to establish a foothold in the Czech Republic. Organized groups are reported to be behind the growing number of sham marriages registered in the past year or two. Marriages between Czech women and foreign nationals seeking to obtain Czech citizenship and thus free movement in the European Union. According to the report, the authorities have registered a growing number of fake marriages with Turkish nationals in particular. Several foreign organized crime groups are fighting for space in the Czech underworld. Russian-speaking mafia from the former Soviet bloc countries, Asian gangs and crime rings from the Balkans. They're involved in tax scams, money laundering and drug-related crime, and all have shown a strong ability to corrupt officials and penetrate into state administration. The focus now seems to have moved to legitimizing their presence by getting Czech citizenship, which would enable them free travel around the EU and protect them from extradition to their country of origin. This year, the Centre for Combating Organised Crime has also warned of what it calls uncontrolled numbers of people practicing Islam entering the country, which would present a security threat. Jaroslav Ibehe is the centre's spokesperson.
I should begin by saying that the Czech Republic has not to this day had to deal with a terrorist attack. However, the danger of infiltration by radicals is there, as it is around Europe. What the centre has registered is a growing number of agencies owned by Muslims being set up in the Czech Republic for the purpose of settling visas and residence permits for other Muslims to this country. The permits are often requested for the purpose of accompanying sick relatives to Czech spas, and many of these clients are spending large sums of money which it is difficult to trace.
The need to fight the threat of Islamic radicals settling in Europe is an issue of general concern on the continent. So how big is the danger of that happening here in the Czech Republic? Security expert and former head of the Czech military intelligence, Andor Shandor.
I don't believe that our country is the primary task of those people who want to come to Europe to do harm or anything like that. On the other hand, to pretend that we have everything under control would be foolish, would be irresponsible. So if it's a matter of concern for police, politicians should be aware of that and should do anything they could to help this country from being a target for possible terrorist attacks. As I said, money talks. The problem is that many times the system called Havala is used. It means that the people carry money in their bags. So the money is not transferred through the bank system, but it's handed by person to another one.
Security expert Andor Shandor, ending that report by Daniela Lazareva. Now, on a lighter note, this Wednesday, December the 5th, Czech children eagerly await the visit of the bearded St. Nicholas and his two companions, an angel and a devil. The much-treasured tradition has been going strong for centuries and is unlikely to disappear anytime soon. Tom McEncrow reports.
Tourists in the Czech Republic right now may be confused by the sudden influx of saints, devils and angels touring the local streets. Yet this is not a passage from St. John's Revelation, and the Battle of Armageddon has not arrived. Rather, it is the annual tradition of St. Nicholas visiting children on December 5th, to find out whether they have been good or bad. Martin Shimsha from the National Institute of Folk Culture explains how this type of celebration came about.
This tradition is actually connected to visits that teachers would make to children, where they would check if they had mastered their learning material, specifically prayers. That was the main reason for the visits of St. Nicholas, to check if they know how to pray.
The visits take place on the night before St. Nicholas Day, which is celebrated on December 6th. St. Nicholas starts by asking the children if they have been good, often requesting they perform a poem or song as a test. Then Nicholas asks if the child has committed any bad deeds. Children are sometimes told that the devil standing next to Nicholas will take them to hell if they did, and many take it as a test of bravery.
Matinku, máš tam taky nějaké hříchy?
Jaký?
Zlobil jsi maminku?
Ne.
However, the worst children have to fear is that they will receive some potatoes or coal that the devil carries in his sack, rather than sweets or other goodies carried by the angel. Almost always, they receive the latter. The tradition also engages students and young adults who often volunteer to impersonate the three religious figures and tour their local neighbourhoods. Eva Cherna is one such volunteer. In her professional life, she is an architect, but on December 5th, she joins with her fellow members of the Pravý Mikuláš, or Real Nicholas Ensemble, and visits families with children.
Parents usually ask us to visit their children about a month ahead of the event, although sometimes we get reservations as early as the end of the summer. Everyone wants us to visit between 5 to 6 o'clock, and we can't divide ourselves up, of course, so our tours stretch from the afternoon into the late evening hours.
Což se nemůžeme rozčtvrtit, takže chodíme od odpoledne až potom po pozdní večer.
The appearances of the various St. Nicholases and their companions also differ greatly based on the time and effort their portrayers place in preparing for the event. Those who do not prepare well enough risk that the children will see through the disguise. While in most of the country the religious aspect has largely disappeared from the visits, in eastern Moravia, where faith remains relatively deep-rooted, the tradition of children reciting prayers is still held on to. Mrs. Černá's ensemble Pravý Mikuláš has also started to offer visits in English to foreign families living in Prague. Those interested can book on the website www.pravimikulas.cz.
Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for our main feature, Travel Tip with Vít Bohanka. This week he travels to Litomyšl.
You may recognize the venerable melody of the Moldau, or the Vltava, arguably the most instantly recognizable one of the 6 symphonic poems that together form the set called Má vlast, or My Homeland. It was composed by Bedřich Smetana. Now, most people think that the famous Czech composer was born near the river's banks in Prague, where he spent most of his working life. But as a matter of fact, the prominent Czech musician was born in eastern Bohemia, namely the small town of Litomyšl. And as often happens in Czechia, it was because of beer.
His father was the castle brewer. He was making beer for a local nobility. So they were both famous, but each of them in a different way.
Meet Tomáš Ročajn. He studies law in Prague, but escapes back to his native Litomyšl whenever he can. Bedřich Smetana spent just a part of childhood here before his family moved on to South Bohemia. Nevertheless, Litomyšl is still very proud of the fact that the composer, who became one of the leaders of the Czech national revival movement in the 19th century, made his concert debut right here when he was only 6 years old.
Every single year there is a huge music festival called Smetana's Litomyšl. It's definitely one of the most important cultural happenings or events in Litomyšl over the year. Basically all the artists from Central Europe and further gather in here to perform, and many, many famous guests, many famous artists, music critics come here, gather in here to listen to their production and hear their masterpieces, which they are trying to make new every year for this occasion.
Now, Tomáš is not just a local patriot, but also the history buff. So, let's change the tune a bit.
First mention of Litomyšl comes from an old Czech chronicler, Kosmas. And the first mention is tied to year 981. It used to be a border town between Bohemia and Moravia, which are now the two most important regions of today's Czech Republic. But it wasn't been like that before. And so Litomyšl used to be a borderland and pretty important one. There was a major trade route which delivered salt from Austria and amber from northern countries. Later, the bishopric was established in here. So
Catholic, we should say.
Catholic, yes, Catholic. So basically Litomyšl became a religious center of the country, of the kingdom, and later of the empire. And at one point, we used to be second most important city of a Czech kingdom right after Prague.
Tomáš and I wander around the beautiful historic center of Litomyšl, but we are sort of drawn to a monumental building of a Renaissance castle, which is just a couple of minutes' walk from the main square. Tomáš points out the omnipresent reminders of the town's past importance and significance.
This church is also beautiful, especially from inside. It's called the Piaris Church. It's also one of the pearls of Litomyšl, but this one is from Baroque style.
And we shouldn't forget that this castle was actually inscribed on the World Heritage List of UNESCO. What were the official reasons for that?
It was mostly the unique style. Actually, it's probably the largest Renaissance castle in all Czech Republic and definitely the most beautiful one in Czech Republic.
It really looks beautiful, doesn't it? I mean, there are a lot of graffiti, I think it's called.
It's called graffiti. Yes, graffiti. It's called graffiti, yeah. Yes.
There are some pictures of, obviously, some figures, noblemen or biblical.
It's both, actually, and it's a large scale of pictures in here. You can find almost anything from picture of key to a picture of person. The reason I'm mentioning a key is a legend that is tied to this castle that says that if you find three keys, picture of three keys on a castle facade, that they will show you the path to a hidden treasure somewhere here on a castle hill. What the authors were trying to do is to keep to make every single picture on this castle wall a bit different. There are pictures of almost anything you can think of, from flowers to animals, and every single time they tried that they make one unique, different from the other.
Does anybody know how many there are?
I believe there's several thousand.
What would be the main activities, the main industries back in the, let's say, 17th, 18th, 19th century before the Industrial Revolution?
Probably tailoring in here. On a town square in here, there always used to be a market. And if you go to the old town hall, the tower that is in the center of town square, you can see an old mark, like a noodle, like iron noodle. It helped the traders for measuring, especially for the tailors. As I said, the tailoring was important in here. For the tailors, that was the way how to measure the silk, how to measure the cloth and everything they used. That was before centimeters, meters, before the metric system. So they had to use something. And actually the one in here is one of the only three left preserved in the whole Czech Republic. There is one in Prague, in Litomyšl, and then in southern Bohemia. There are only three of them left. And so one of them is still located on a old town hall of Litomyšl.
We are now walking down this beautiful archway along the square, which is very lively. I mean, there are shops that are open, offering various tools, flowers. There was a bakery beforehand. I mean, there are some cafes as well. It's always been like this, hasn't it?
It has always been like this, ever since the archways were created, which was in the 16th century. The town square has always been the center of life in here, and it is, even nowadays.
Was there any special reason why built archways?
It was made of a practical reason, for purpose of being able to go from one end to the other of a square without, as they said in history, stepping in a mud or a wet.
That was probably before the square was paved. Yeah, so exactly. There would be a lot of mud after rain, etc.
Exactly. It was made by Vratislav the Beautiful, the one who made the castle on a hill. He took care of the city center as well. So this was his idea, his invention in here.
Yes, Litomyshl is very rich in history indeed. This is one of the main reasons why the town hosts the only school of historic restoration in the Czech Republic. It is part of the nearby University of Pardubice, and its experts have restored, for example, the famous Charles Bridge in Prague. They worked and still work to bring other historical monuments back to their former glory, many of them UNESCO World Heritage Sites. Yet Litomyshl is not only about history.
There are so many things that you can do that you would expect from a huge city or metropolis, but it's small and you can walk everywhere. Everything is in a walkable distance.
Examples.
All right, so Litomyshl is the first town or city in, definitely in the Czech Republic, maybe even further, which is known for its power of spirit. So, you see, last year we've been officially enlisted among spa towns of Czech Republic. But as you might know, there are no spas in here. So what we do is the so-called festival Spa of the Spirit, which takes place every year. And basically, whole Litomyshl, almost all the people in here, will kind of turn into last century outfit and activities. There is an old trade market on a town square. There is an old car exhibition. It's a pre-war, mostly, era, and it's just activity everybody wants to take part in.
If I understand correctly, I mean, people wear costumes that would be from the period of the 1920s, 1930s,
yes,
stuff like that.
Yeah? Exactly. Some
our people, first the Republic. First Republic.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly.
First Republic. What about the other things to do? What can you do in summer?
In summer, for example, there are live concerts every Friday and every Wednesday that are for free. You can go hiking. There are beautiful mountains, sandstone mountains and hills around Litomyshl that actually attracts many of the local tourists, but they are not very known by the foreigners. So it's a beautiful place to go, and you can drive a bus there. It takes 20 minutes or less.
Recommends Tomáš Ročajn, a young student from Litomyshl. And after saying goodbye, I head to a rather strange museum. In fact, it is just a small house in one of the side streets, but very special indeed. Its curator is Hanna Klimešová.
Portmoneum je vlastně muzeum Josefa Váchala. Je to původně rodinný domek rodiny Portmanových.
This, in fact, a gallery, is called Portmoneum and is devoted to the work and life of two somewhat extravagant Czech men. The first was Josef Váchal, Czech writer, painter, printmaker and book printer. He was invited in the 1920s by a friend, Josef Portman, who was an art collector, to decorate his house. The result is a wild, somewhat bizarre set of wall paintings. A must-see, says Hanna Klimešová.
Tak jsou to vlastně dvě místnosti, poměrně malé, ale komplet vymalované.
There are two rooms. They're both relatively small, but the walls are completely covered with paintings, including the ceiling. Josef Váchal loved and used very wild, contrasting colors. The background is done in a harsh green color, and you can see it coming out in some places. Then there are quite saturated, often dark colours, and some visitors say it looks quite scary. All the more scary for the devils and ghosts painted here. So it really makes some people quite anxious.
Takže v některých to vyvolává opravdu úzkostlivé pocity.
After his death in 1969, Josef Váchal became a kind of a legend. He gained a literary cult following for his one and only novel. In it, he tried to capture all the main themes of a writing style that was very popular, especially at the turn of the 19th and 20th centuries. The closest to this type of literature would probably be the British Penny Dreadfuls, or later Pulp Fiction. This is how Hanna Klimešová describes Váchal's style of writing when he worked on his bloody novel.
No, je to velmi komplikované dílo, kde se odehrává několik dějů současně.
It is a very complicated work. There are several storylines developing at the same time. Váchal, in fact, was printing it without having any written material, so he was actually typesetting the story as it came to his imagination and was immediately printing it without any corrections. There are places where we can see that the author got kind of lost in the story himself. In a strange way, it is charming. For us here in Litomyšl, the most important are those passages where he describes a Count Portman, in obvious reference to his sponsor, Mr. Portman. The name itself is also used as a reference to the French word porte-monnaie, or a purse. In reality, Mr. Portman was very greedy and could be quite mean. For example, he would have well-known artists decorate the books he was printing, and he kept asking for discounts. He would literally beg for them, giving reasons such as, "Christmas is coming, a small price cut would be most welcome." Ideally, the artist would provide his talent and work for free.
Případně, kdyby to bylo zadarmo, bylo by to úplně ideální.
Personally, I can say that an impartial visitor in the 21st century could hardly be blamed if he mistook Váchal's decoration of Mr. Portman's house for a strange kind of revenge rather than innocent work of art.
Najdeme tady ale i třeba džungli, což zase byla inspirace Tarzana. On byl v roce 1920 poprvé Tarzan.
We can find a jungle here too. That was inspired by Tarzan. The legendary novel was published in Czech in 1922 for the first time. Váchal became an enthusiastic fan. He even called his favorite dog Tarzan. That is why we have these jungle sceneries here. Then we can see these scenes from the so-called bloody novels. They were quite a successful literary genre, starting roughly at the end of the 17th and leading up to the end of the 19th century. It was a very popular genre with the working classes. There were certain rules that the writer had to obey. There would always be a murder or a violent death, and of course, love. So, for example, here you can see the wedding of a robber knight and an evening on Gallows Hill.
Spousta symbolů taky navazuje na křesťanství, takže jsou tady křesťanské symboly, kde vlastně Váchal hledal nějakou útěchu v tom, co se mu děje.
There are a lot of symbols typical of Christianity. Váchal was looking for some sort of relief or atonement, for he was literally seeing ghosts, not only in his dreams, but when he was wide awake during the daytime too. He tried to find peace by turning to the Christian faith. He discussed his visions with priests, but unfortunately found no consolation there. So he gradually turned to Eastern philosophies, and that is why we can see a swastika in one of the paintings, which surprises or even shocks some people. But we have to understand that he did not paint it as a Nazi symbol, but as the original Hindu protective sign. You can also find pentagrams that were used in ancient Greece, Babylonia, and later by Vikings, a pagan religious movement. It all culminated with Váchal devoting himself completely to the occult sciences, and there are Masonic symbols represented too.
Takže tady najdeme i třeba zednářské symboly.
If all this sounds too extravagant to your taste, maybe you should take note of the following. In 1994, Václav Havel, the then world-famous writer-president of the Czech Republic, invited seven of his Central European counterparts for a summit at the Litomyšl Castle. And Portmoneum, this strange gallery, was something they could not miss. They came for a visit.
And that edition of Travel Tip with Vít Bohanka brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. Thank you.